This is UN and Africa from the United Nations in New York. I'm Deanne Penn. In this week's program, thousands of children vaccinated against measles in South Sudan, and governments and the private sector urge to listen to young people. But first, the largest ever emergency food relief operation in Malawi's history kicked off this week, according to the World Food Programme, WFP. More than 6.5 million people are facing hunger because of a drought caused by the El Niño weather phenomenon. The food crisis in the southern African country is also due to the impact of severe flooding and prolonged dry spells in 2015. WFP's senior communications officer, Gerald Burke, spoke to Jocelyn Sambira about the extent of the problem.
Malawi has long suffered high rates of chronic nutrition, a situation that's compounded by high rates of HIV/AIDS. But in the last 2 years, the weather has been particularly inclement. Last year, there was drought and flooding. This year, there has been a severe drought compounded by the El Niño effect. So the upshot of all that is that the World Food Programme estimates that there are some 6.5 million people in Malawi in need of emergency food assistance now, and that's up from about 2.8 million in the same time last year. So a surge of about 150%. It's part of the wider drought across Africa, but Malawi is particularly hard hit.
The El Niño weather phenomenon has been particularly bad in that region. What has been the response from the international community?
Well, the El Niño effect, if we look at the cereal harvest, like much of southern Africa, Malawi has one harvest a year. That is in April. The staple crop is maize. And the April harvest was either very poor in a lot of parts of Malawi or failed completely. So that has a huge impact. So those 6.5 million people in need of food assistance now, that's 40% of the population. It's huge. In terms of the response of the international community, one of the main reasons why WFP's executive director has been visiting Malawi is to seek to raise awareness and attention to the depth and scale of the problem, both in Malawi and in across southern Africa. Obviously, to mount a very sizable relief operation both in Malawi and in the wider region, that will require a lot of resources. We calculate, based on current projections, about 540 million for the seven hardest hit countries in the sub-region between now and next year. We urgently need just over 200 million, and some of that is required for the procurement of relief items and pre-positioning them in places, including in Malawi, that will be impassable and very difficult to reach by road because of rains that are due in October. And of course, another challenge for us is the expectation that the La Niña effect will hit later this year. And one of the dimensions of that will be heavy flooding.
A campaign to vaccinate around 13,000 particularly vulnerable children in the Wau area of South Sudan is well underway, according to the UN Children's Fund, UNICEF. The immunization drive is focusing on five protection of civilian sites in Wau, which are being run by the UN mission in the country, UNMISS. UNICEF is concerned there could be a major measles outbreak due to cramped living conditions at the sites. Fighting in the area displaced 70,000 at the end of last month. UNICEF's Tim Irwin told Sani Martin why the emergency vaccination campaign was so necessary.
It's important because people are living in displacement sites. You know, several thousands or tens of thousands have fled their homes, and about 30,000 are living in displacement sites in Wau. They're very crowded, and measles is an airborne disease that can be spread through the air. And children are particularly vulnerable, and the disease can have very harmful impacts on children. So while people are living in these crowded conditions, it's very important that children are protected against measles.
And in terms of the campaign, how many children are you expecting to reach?
So far, we've immunized 9,000 children, and I think you said in your introduction, our target is 13,000, so we're certainly well on our way to achieving that target. And the campaign is going on in the five main displacement sites in Wau, the biggest one being next to the UNMISS base. It's a protection of civilian sites. We have people going around the camps with megaphones, informing families that the measles campaign is ongoing and where they can go to get their children vaccinated. So we've had long queues and a good response.
Why are children still dying from measles?
Well, it's a preventable disease, but unfortunately, not everyone has been immunized against it, which is why it's so important to have campaigns like this. Once you have a sufficient number of people immunized against measles, then the chance of it spreading or of there being a kind of a mass outbreak are much smaller. And so this is really a preventive measure, given the conditions that people are living in. And we're very pleased to see that families are responding and that mothers are bringing their children, and that we've had the numbers immunized so far that we've seen, which is, as I say, about 9,000.
Okay. And why is this particular campaign necessary when South Sudan has a routine immunization program?
Because it doesn't, it's not able to reach everybody. We have, at the same time, I should say, while the measles campaign is going on, we are continuing with routine immunization. Not every child, of course, has been immunized. And so when we have people living in these crowded conditions, it's both a requirement, that the children are protected. It's also an opportunity to immunize children, which perhaps has not been reached up to this point.
With half of the world's population under 25 years old, it is crucial that young people have a say in global trade and development issues. That message comes from the UN Secretary General's envoy on youth. Ahmad Alandawi was in Nairobi, Kenya, where he participated in the first ever youth forum held alongside the latest conference of the UN's trade and development body, UNCTAD. He spoke to Assumpta Massoy about key concerns for young people, particularly those in Africa.
Well, that's incredible, of course, to all the youth delegates who are joining and forming this first youth forum of the UNCTAD process. Our world today, as we keep saying, is the youngest in the history, with half of the world's population that are 25 years of age, as it's crucial for all the topics that are being discussed here at the UNCTAD to include youth voices and for young people to have a say in the future of trade and development, because that future will be lived by young people themselves.
But what are the main concerns of the youth?
Clearly, the question of youth unemployment remains high on the list of priorities for young people. Young people are clearly more affected by unemployment generally, and youth unemployment today at 2 or 3 times higher than adult unemployment, depends on the region. So the question of how to make young people more competitive to compete in the labor market, but how to create jobs in the first place. One of the important topics that are being discussed at the Youth Forum, and since we are convening UNCTAD in Africa, is the question of situation of young people in Africa and the fact that youth unemployment and underemployment is still quite high in Africa. This is a question of how to invest in the creating jobs and in the skill development for African youth is quite central for this discussion.
Yesterday I had an opportunity to talk to some of the youth who are participating in this youth forum, and one of the issues that they cited was the lack of mentorship. That some of the leaders, they're not ready to mentor them, though they have the skills. Opportunities are there outside, but they cannot meet the skills that are needed. But at least mentorship should help. What can you say about this?
There's a lot to be done by enhancing the dialogue between different partners. Now, that brings me back to why UNCTAD is very important, this United Nations Conference on Trade and Development, because we need to bring these different actors together, the academic institutions, but also the private sector and the trade stakeholders, together with governments and the development actors, for them to synchronize the policy interventions they are designing in a way that would put more investment in young people. Young people are still struggling to have the governments and the private sector listen to their concerns. They are being lectured at all the time. But at the same time, I think governments and private sector companies and others, they have also to be lectured by young people by listening what they have to say when it comes to their frustration, their aspirations, and what advice they have to offer when it comes to creating jobs and to invest in the massive youth population.
And that brings us to the end of this edition of UN and Africa. You can follow more of our programs at radio.un.org. We're also on Facebook and on Twitter. Thanks for joining us today. I'm Deanne Penn.